It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts and our most recent op-eds. Go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. It is Labor Day week. We're talking about the American idea, opportunity, hard work. And so we've got a great show planned for you today. Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors will join us, as well as Elaine Parker with Job Creators Network. And of course, we will talk with Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. We look at these issues, my friends, as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. And I always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for your support, your good work. And thank you to each of you listeners. You're each treasured and valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence today and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. So happy Labor Day week, producer Steve.
And to you. It's going to be a fast week, I think.
It really is. It really is. So, hey, I'm looking for quotes, as you know, and we're kind of having some baseball. And so Babe Ruth is our quote for today. George Herman Babe Ruth Jr. was an American professional baseball player whose career in Major League Baseball spanned 22 seasons from 1914 through 1935. He was nicknamed the Bambino, the Sultan of SWAT, and he began his MLB career as a star left-handed pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, but achieved his greatest fame as a slugging outfielder for the New York Yankees. He was born in 1895. He died in 1948. And Steve, he said, never let the fear of striking out get in your way.
You know, it's amazing. My point in life, I've known about him all these years. That's the first time I ever heard about what position he played in the field. Like I said, he was always known for his work at the plate.
You know, I didn't realize that either. So I've got to do a little bit more research on that. So we will do that. But I love baseball. Yes, I love the dedication of baseball players to work to be the very best that they could be. Babe Ruth, he was really a character, but he had great success. But he was never afraid of failing. And I get to work with a lot of great entrepreneurs who help bring this show to you every day so that we can get our brains around these different ideas out there, this battle of ideas. And I'm just so grateful for all of these entrepreneurs that I get to work with. On the line with me is one of my valued partners, and that is Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors. Chris Cantwell, happy Labor Day week.
Thank you, Kim. I hope you're doing well.
You know, and one of the themes we've been talking a lot about this week is opportunity and the American idea and capitalism and hard work. And those are things that are right down your wheelhouse, Chris Cantwell.
Absolutely, they are. I work with small, privately held business owners, people who are looking to sell their businesses or people who are looking to go be an entrepreneur and buy a business.
And through this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, you know, I imagine that there is some real opportunity for people that have wanted to get out of their corporate jobs. This is a perfect time for them to take a look at buying a business, creating some cash flow for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're looking to do, and that's how we're helping people out. In fact, this period has been so crazy for us, right? So when the stay-at-home orders kind of came into effect in mid-March, you know, everything went really quiet, and we had some deals that were about to close, stop, and we did have some deals continue to go on, and some businesses are obviously impacted more than others with the quarantines. But I tell you what, it's just been the last 90 days have been crazy. So we ended up closing 10 deals in June, 8 in July. We've got 10 in the books for August, and I think there's another one closing today, so that's 11. So we've had almost 30 deals in the last 90 days, and in 2019 alone, we averaged 7 deals a month. So it
wow.
is just crazy right now how busy we are, and there's some great buyers coming to market. We still have a lot of baby boomers that are selling and retiring. We've had some people that have said, okay, you know, I was thinking about holding out another year or two, but nope, I'm done. I'm ready to retire. So some great businesses are coming to market. We've got some distressed businesses out there that are stuck in some lease situations that that they're just not able to perform well and need to get out of those. So they're looking to unload their businesses. So there's some pretty good deals in the market too. It's just, it's a crazy time, but it's great. We love it. We, during this whole time period and all the shutdowns and quarantines, we stayed engaged every single day. We were coming to work every single day right. and doing what we could do for our clients, and it's paying off now.
Yep.
You know, a lot of our competition just kind of shut it down for a while and didn't want to meet anyone and just kind of said, you know, poor pity me, but we didn't. And there were those days that I was thinking, poor pity me, but it's definitely paying off.
Planting seeds. Yeah, when you plant seeds, eventually there is a harvest. So that's a good thing. Quickly, you know, there had been some questions for people that different businesses that had taken the PPP loans. Is there any new updates on that? I know you've been watching that very closely.
Yeah, and we're telling people to talk to their banks regularly and get in the know on their forgiveness procedures. There's a website that I've been looking at. It's the NFIB, which stands for the National Federation of Independent Businesses.
Uh-huh.
And they've got some webinars. They've got a webinar coming up, looks like on it's in September. And it is ready for PPP loan forgiveness. Make sure all your ducks are in a row.
Okay.
So what we're seeing in the market is banks just have different processes and procedures, and it is holding up on some of our deals. Some banks are saying you can't close on the transaction until this is settled. Other banks are just saying, hey, you know, the debt is either with or going to be forgiven to the person who's selling the business in an asset sale. So.
Okay. So it's kind of a case-by-case basis then. So as you say, people should be in contact with their banks to be on top of that. So very good. Hey, Chris Cantwell, how can people reach you?
Yeah, you can call me directly at 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, or find all of my contact information on the KimMonson.com website.
Well, I know you have a great appreciation for the American idea and capitalism and hard work. And Chris Cantwell, you are a valued partner. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim.
Have a great week. Yeah, you have a great day as well. And before we go to break, shout out to another one of my great partners, and that is Hooters Restaurants. You know, these beautiful Colorado evenings. Meet some friends. They have a lovely happy hour from 3 to 6 on Monday through Friday, and there's all kinds of specials. You can watch the games that are being played now, and we're going to hopefully get football figured out. So go to order.hooters.com for more information. That's order.hooters.com. We'll be right back with Elaine Parker.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. That way you get the first look at all of our upcoming guests, our Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast, all of our op-eds. And be sure and go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. I am thrilled to have on the line with me today Elaine Parker. She is the Chief Communications Officer for Job Creators Network. And Job Creators Network was founded or inspired by Bernie Marcus, who founded Home Depot. So, Elaine Parker, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim. I'm excited to be here.
So it is a Labor Day week, and I was thinking a lot about labor, and then it made me think about hard work and then the American idea and how unique it is that people can come from nothing here in America and can become something. And so the story of Bernie Marcus, you're pretty familiar with that, right, Elaine?
Yeah, I've worked for Bernie on different projects for over a decade, and for the last 8 or 9 years, it's been very focused on the Job Creators Network, and I was part of the founding with him and creating it from the start. So it's been very exciting. But he's got a fantastic personal story. It is a great American story.
And where does it begin, Elaine?
Well, it begins with being, you know, the son of Russian immigrants and growing up very poor in New Jersey. He likes to say they were more poor than the mice. They are poor as mice. And, you know, it's somebody whose parents loved America and saw America as, you know, a guiding light, and that if they worked hard, they could do anything that they wanted. And that's exactly what Bernie did. And, you know, he wanted to he really wanted to be a doctor, to be honest with you. But that didn't work out for him, so he, you know, tried his hand at retail at a hardware store, and that seemed to work out a lot better for him.
You think?
Founding the Home Depot has been so successful. But, you know, he's got a pretty incredible American dream story. He was fired at the age of 50 and was facing complete bankruptcy. He was broke, but he had an idea. And he took that idea to his two partners, and they went and started the Home Depot 2 years later. They opened their first two stores in Georgia. And, you know, the rest is kind of history. It grew from there, but they were hard years when you listen to him describe those years. And, you know, he had to deal with, you know, high taxes and regulations and things like that. But, you know, he always says if he had to start the Home Depot under the policies of, you know, the Obama administration and even Sarbanes-Oxley, which was passed under the Bush administration, he would never have been as successful. When you look at litigation and the way that American litigation system has gone with the trial lawyers, all of those things would have prevented him from the success that he was able to achieve as a result. And as a result, you know, they employ now over 400,000 people.
Wow.
You know, he's not part of the management of Home Depot anymore. He's since retired. He's 91 years old, very, very active, still plays golf every day. And you can catch him on TV doing interviews, mm-hmm. Still about the economy. But he, you know, he took the company very far. And even in the early days, there were people who, you know, he needed the top talent, but he couldn't afford the top talent. And so what he promised them was employee stock. And so when the company went public overnight, there were part pushers and cashiers and staffers at every level of the organization who became millionaires overnight. So, you know, pretty incredible. 25,000 millionaires were created overnight.
Oh, my gosh.
At the Home Depot at every level. And that was because of his generosity and the people who stuck with him. So people who have worked for Bernie are very loyal to Bernie.
You think? You know, you have that happen, most definitely. That brings up something, how we treat people. You know, I think that many times there's this narrative that many of our young kids have been told that capitalism is all about greed and that they take advantage of people. But in a free market, somebody could do that, but I don't think they're going to be in business for very long. So, you know, finding good talent, rewarding that, having a good relationship, treating people well, ultimately, I think that's, you know, one of the tenets of real capitalism, not cronyism, but capitalism, Elaine Parker.
Absolutely. You know, America is the greatest country in the world, and there's two reasons for that. The first is our Constitution, which guarantees freedom of speech and expression. But the second is our free market system. It has been the greatest creator of wealth and prosperity that the world has ever known. It's lifted billions of people out of poverty, and it's far more superior than any government program could ever be. It is a tool that allows money to reach out and grab a hold of the American dream. And it is very painful, Kim, to see young people glorify socialism. They have been indoctrinated at every level, and believe me, it starts very, very early in school when you start talking to young kids and what they're being taught in school. But they start early at believing that free enterprise is immoral and that profits are evil because they enrich they enriches the greedy and depresses the poor. You know, it's interesting you hear me talk about it in terms of our free enterprise system, because now even the word capitalism isn't politically correct to use, you know, but the reality is that the free market system has created the biggest middle class population in the world. And while some think that socialism is well-intentioned, the fact is it robs people of their independence and their dignity and their finances. And we need only to look at other countries around the world to see that evidence.
Well, and Elaine Parker, going back just a little bit, you mentioned that our kids are learning this early. And I heard a story that I thought was really interesting. A friend of mine, it was a friend of hers, his little granddaughter, went to school first day. And this was a few years ago. And I remember I loved the first day of school. I'm old enough. We would go and get, you know, all of the supplies. I can remember smelling my pencils. I mean, I just loved it and had my little box of all my stuff. And we went to school. We put it in our desk and that was ours. They told a story that they had gotten the list of things they needed to get for her supplies for school. They'd gone to the store, and she needed to get scissors. So one of the things she got was some Frozen scissors, Disney Frozen that all of the little girls just love. So she had gotten her Frozen scissors and goes to school, and all the kids are to put their scissors in a big basket to share. So the first time that they had a project, she, you know, went over to get her scissors out of the basket, and somebody else had taken them. And she was heartbroken. And, you know, those were her scissors, but yet now somebody else was using it. She had paid for them. And so next year, you can rest assured she's probably not going to go get those cool Frozen scissors. They're probably going to get, you know, lesser quality scissors that may not cut. And that's how socialism brings people down. And it is starting early. I just thought that was a real interesting story, Elaine Parker.
I went through the same thing. I have two daughters who are older, but a senior in high school, and another daughter in her third year in college. But we went through the same thing with the school supplies. They were excited to buy the folders with, you know, the pretty flowers or whatever character was popular at the time. And then I realized it was you had to pull all the supplies together, and they came home heartbroken because the pretty folders they bought were no longer theirs. So, yeah, that was pretty disappointing.
Yeah, and I think that we need to realize that that is just kind of a new indoctrination regarding socialism, and people don't like it. The other thing is regarding education is group projects. I do not like group projects because typically there's a couple of students that do all the work and others don't, but yet they all get the same grade. And so, again, I think that's a subtle thing in education that is creating socialism. Your thoughts on that, Elaine Parker?
You know, that is certainly one of them. There's definitely an indoctrination. There's a whitewashing of history. I don't think history is being focused on and taught enough in school. And, you know, we all know the saying, if you don't learn the lessons of the past, you're doomed to repeat them. So I think it's really important that our kids learn history and understand how our capitalistic free market system came to be and the opportunities that were available. I mean, you can come from nothing in this country. You can come from nothing and become the president of the United States. You can come from nothing and invent something that no one else has in your garage and do very well. And because you make a profit on that does not make you evil. You know, it's interesting. For young people, I like to connect the profit side of things to the ability to give back. Unfortunately, I work for somebody, with Bernie. He gives back in a huge way. I said he's not part of the Home Depot anymore, but he does have a foundation It contributes to everything from medical advances, autism advances, veterans causes. He built the Georgia Aquarium and brought, you know, the ocean, the wonders of the ocean inland so that people all over the country could enjoy that. But it's not a random occurrence that Americans are the most charitable people in the world. Making money, being prosperous, our capitalistic system makes charitable giving actually possible. It's the result of hard work and entrepreneurship and, yes, a free market capitalistic system, because in order to give money, you have to make money. And Bernie is a great example of being able to give millions of dollars away to great causes that enrich and make people's lives better.
And that is, it's just such a great American story. Elaine Parker, the chief communications officer with Job Creators Network. Let's go to break. When we come back, we will continue the conversation. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. It is Labor Day week. We're talking about the American idea, capitalism, hard work, opportunity. And we're talking about some special quotes that you've looked up. So who do you have for us today?
Well, today I have a quote from a fellow named Harry Lewis Golden. He lived from 1902 to 1981. He was an American writer and newspaper publisher. I was looking at some of his books, and from what I could discern, he believed in Georgian socialism, which I don't know what that is exactly. I was trying to read us something about... you should keep what you work for, but any lands that you have, rents or anything derived from that should be spread with the community. You know, I mean, socialism.
Okay, so he was talking about work, but yet not property rights.
Well, maybe so.
Okay,
maybe,
and that is the thing with socialism, is ultimately is they get rid of the individual and they get rid of property rights. But it is interesting because I'm like you, I've looked up different quotes and I'm like, oh, that's a good one. And then in the description, they'll say socialist. I'm like, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, again, maybe they're attributing the quotes to someone other than themselves. You know, that's usually how it works with socialism. Someone else does the work and they collect the spoils,
yes,
right?
That's
okay.
It.
But it's interesting. There's a theme of that this week, I guess. But equal opportunity, if you make a good quote, I guess we don't care who, you know, what your background is. If the
we'll
quote's
go with
good,
it.
We'll use it, we'll plagiarize it, we'll take advantage of it, and we'll exploit it.
Well,
right?
We give them credit, so we don't plagiarize,
right.
We just explain.
All
so.
Right,
okay, so what's
so,
the quote?
So anyway, Mr. Golden, his quote was, "The only thing that overcomes hard luck is hard work." And I think, you know, that one is interesting when you think about what's going on in a lot of our larger cities these days, you know. San Francisco comes to mind, Los Angeles. I mean, we're seeing a lot of it here in Denver. You know, I mean, with the tremendous explosion in the homeless population, and it's a lot of that seems to be young people that are, you know, very capable of getting a job if they mm-hmm. wanted to, Kim. I'm quite sure you've probably seen it too. You pull up to a street, there's a young guy there. Young guy. I mean, now he doesn't have a job, apparently, but he's got a cell phone. He's got a new pair of Nikes. I mean, he's got a brand new sweatshirt hoodie. Everything looks real fine except for no job. So I don't know how you could do that. But again, this quote, I think, is very, very prescient and descriptive of the times we're seeing. Again, the only thing that overcomes hard luck is hard work. And I think that's true. I think even when you're being given all kinds of things to feed you, clothe you, take care of you while you're homeless and living in a tent, it's still hard luck. And it's not a good life.
You know, and when we do that, when we provide it something for everybody, somebody said that we start to treat people like pets instead of people. And I was driving down I-25 the other day, and I was at the intersection of 6th Avenue and I-25. There was trash everywhere, and I'm like, hey, if people are getting stuff for free, you know, actually, why don't they, you know, take them out and have them clean up the side of the highway? We need to be having some value for value instead of just giving stuff to
people. We can't do that, Kim, because then we'd not be treating them like pets. We'd be treating them like criminals.
We can't put
them in chain gangs. We treat them like, now, I'm not saying... I am imitating the voice of a bleeding heart there. I mean, I'm all for what you say.
Okay.
You know, tell them, hey, we're going to give you free food, let you live in a tent in the park. Here we go. Let's go out and clean up the highway.
I agree with
you 100%. I was being sarcastic.
You caught me on that. And normally I'm following you, Jason, but I was a little slow on the uptake there. But Jason, it's Labor Day week, helping people, you know, take their nest egg and make it work for them is what you and your colleagues at Presidential specialize in. So I recommend people give you a call at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason McBride, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Kim.
And we'll be right back with Elaine Parker with Job Creators Network.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. That way you get the first look at all of our upcoming guests, our new Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts, and our latest op-eds. And we would greatly appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is Elaine Parker. She is the Chief Communications Officer for Job Creators Network. So, Elaine, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you for being here.
I'm excited to be here, Kim. Thanks.
So Job Creators Network, what is it exactly, Elaine Parker?
So we're a national small business advocacy organization. As we talked about earlier, we're founded by Bernie Marcus. But what we do is we advocate on behalf of small businesses for pro-growth policies like lower taxes and less regulations and better access to capital. We were very involved in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and really getting it over the finish line. I don't know if you knew Steve Moore, who is was part of the President Trump's economic team during the 2016 campaign. He likes to refer to us as the Pied Piper of tax cuts. But the reason why we were so involved is because we're representing 30 million small business owners across this country that employ 60 million people. So that's 90 million people dependent on the success of small business, and they needed a tax cut. And so what we did was we looked at how do we amplify that voice, the small business owners, so that Washington could hear that a tax cut was needed, not just for small business owners, but for all Americans. And what we did was a very grassroots campaign. We traveled around the country to some 30 states, and we met with hundreds and thousands of small business owners along the way. We put them on TV. We made sure that they were on the radio. They placed op-eds and papers across the country. It really just beating the drum that tax cuts were necessary and that if they got these tax cuts, they would invest in their companies. And that's exactly what they did. I can share with you several stories of small business owners who, you know, grew their businesses because of it.
Well, and I wanted to make a point on that, Elaine Parker, because one of my sponsors, Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management, actually did a quick comparison of just a regular family and making $150,000 a year, three children, a comparison from 2017 to their tax bill in 2019. And it is significant, the amount of savings that they had in federal income taxes. Actually, they had a little bump on Colorado taxes, but on the federal level, I want to say it was like $6,000. That is a lot of money to a working family. So when the Democrats say that that tax legislation was for millionaires and billionaires, it's just not true, Elaine Parker.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And the average family of four saved an average of $3,000 on their tax bill, and that is substantial. And if you were in the lower income brackets, if you're a low income side of things, there was actually a refundable tax credit of $1,400 in there for low income people. But it, you know, across the board, every demographic, every income bracket, all benefited from the tax cuts. Small business, I like to say that they are finally the third tax class that was recognized in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and that's what we were fighting so hard for, because most small businesses are set up as what they call pass-through entities or S-corps, where they pass through their business income onto their individual statements. So in many states, I've got a small business owner in Pennsylvania. He was actually paying about a 50% income tax rate. 50%.
Wow.
I mean, there's no major corporation in this country who pays 50%. But because the tax rates were so high, and when you added in the state taxes for Pennsylvania, plus what he was paying at the federal level, he was hitting about a 50% mark there. And, you know, his business is in Somerset, Pennsylvania. It's called Guy Chemical. And he employs about 200 people. And as a result of the tax cuts, he was able to give everybody in the company a 20 to 25% increase in wages. He doubled the size of his facility. He hired 30 more people. And for the first time in 7 years of being in business, he was able to offer a 401k to his employees. For the first time, and he's so proud that he was able to do that, because they're his family. They're his family of employees, and he wants to take care of them, and he wants them to stay.
And so people need to really understand what you just said in this story, that when business owners, small business owners, have more money in their pocket, they don't necessarily put it under the mattress or go to Hawaii, do they? They actually, most everybody invests back in their business and in their employees. And there's not a bad thing about going to Hawaii, because there's jobs created there too when you do that. But first and foremost, small businesses, I mean, this is their livelihood. And this story is that he invested back into his people. They got raises and he hired more people. It's so inspiring. It's really the American dream, Elaine Parker.
Absolutely, and that's the beauty of this country. I mean, he spent the first several years, actually, his taxes were so high, he actually, for 2 years in a row, had to mortgage his house to pay his taxes. So having this tax cut was huge, and while the tax cut is very beneficial because it's a 20% deduction off their business revenue, the big game changer for companies like him and many small businesses across the country was what they call immediate expensing. So you make a capital investment, you buy a multi-million dollar piece of equipment for your company, or you expand or double the size of your facility, you've made a capital investment. It was he could immediately expense that investment, whereas previously you had to depreciate it over a very long period of time, so you didn't see the benefits of making such large investments and large purchases. But I mean, I have multiple small business owners across the country who made those kinds of investments because of that immediate expensing provision. They wouldn't have made those investments had it not been for that provision. And, you know, that creates jobs. You buy a piece of equipment for, you know, $1 million, you've got to hire people to run that piece of equipment. And all of that is what creates our system of free enterprise and the opportunities. I mean, up until 6 months ago, we had more jobs available than people. And all of our small business owners would say, my gosh, if I had to tell you that we had one problem, it's that I don't have enough people. I can't find people to fill the jobs that are available. I just can't find them. That was the big problem.
Well, and under that, and before this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing, when we were at, quote unquote, full employment, then what happened is we had actual real wage growth for employees. And we hadn't had that for a long time. And I think it's important that people realize that it was under the Trump policies that made that happen.
You know, an interesting thing is the fastest wage growth that we saw were for blue collar employees over their white collar employees. So basically, the workers, their wages were going up faster than the supervisors, and we were seeing the fastest wage growth we've seen in a decade as a result of these policies. And we had stagnant wage growth under the previous administration because of those policies, and all of those policies still exist. The underlying policies that were there, you know, 6 months ago when COVID started, they still exist. We just have to get our economy up and running. And we've got patches of the country that are opening. We've got governors in some areas of the country that are being very aggressive in opening their states and with precautions, of course. But we've got other governors and mayors of cities who are instituting just draconian measures, sometimes statewide. So you're holding hostage outlying cities because you've got a hot spot in one city. And you can't do that. I mean, we've got to get people back to work. There are real people hurting. Only 20% of us can actually work from home. The rest of us actually have to go to work.
Well, and it's almost cruel, I think, to be shutting down our economy like this, because I think human beings, they you know, I think we're wired to work and to build things. And so to shut that down, I think is almost cruel, Elaine Parker.
You know, I absolutely agree. And I really cannot understand how you can allow, you know, some of these large retailers to have been open throughout the pandemic, but you shut down these small business owners.
I'm with you on that.
It's pretty incredible to me. You know, we're going to lose half our small businesses if we're not careful. And, you know, just since July 22nd, almost 17,000 restaurants have closed permanently.
And this was...
They are never coming back.
And let's think about it. First of all, the restaurant industry is not an easy industry. It is a lot of hard work to have your own restaurant. And so you have your sweat and your brow all in it. And mostly, probably your nest egg, your investments, you've been working on that. It's just cruel to me to, because of these policies, you know, that are put in place right now, closing down these businesses, that these people, they're losing their livelihood, employees are losing their jobs. We've got to get this turned around, Elaine Parker.
You know, I couldn't agree more. And what people may not realize is that 70% of all new jobs come out of small business, not the big corporations. So if all we have left at the end of the day is Target and Walmart and Amazon, they won't create enough jobs for us. We need our small business owners to continue being entrepreneurs and innovating and creating new ways of doing business. And frankly, some of these small business owners have been incredibly innovative.
Yes.
During the pandemic, because, you know, they want to stay open. But I talked to one here locally, where I live in Orlando, Florida, who said he wanted to keep his employees working, his servers in this restaurant, but they couldn't have inside dining during the shutdown. So he made them all delivery drivers. Right? Keep them working and keep the revenue coming in. Got to keep the lights on. You know, thankfully, the Trump administration passed the CARES Act, which contained the Paycheck Protection Program, which we were very involved in advocating for small businesses and how to implement that and making sure that it wasn't, you know, implemented by the SBA, who you know, look, they have a purpose, but they can't, they're still a government entity and they cannot handle that kind of volume. So we were advocating for not only making them forgivable loans, but for executing them at the local level so that they could really get the money as fast as possible to make our banks ATMs
okay.
for our small business owners. And, you know, I have to say, I'm not huge on government programs in general, but that was unequivocally one of the most successful government programs ever implemented, and also the speed at which it was done was absolutely incredible. I mean, hats off to the administration, to Secretary Mnuchin, Senator Rubio, for you know, he was spearheading the with Senator Susan Collins as well as Maine, who spearheaded the idea of the Paycheck Protection Program. But it saved 51 million jobs. 51 million people stayed employed and paid as a result.
Wow.
And it allowed money to put towards utilities and keeping their businesses open. And had we not had that kind of program in place, I think we would have seen much larger unemployment figures when we saw that first number, which was almost 15% a few months ago. But, you know, in 3 months, we've come back. 9.3 million jobs have come back in 3 months. So pretty incredible.
That is pretty incredible. So, hey, Elaine Parker, you are the Chief Communications Officer with Job Creators Network. Let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk about what we do here going into the future. But before we do that, I want to give a shout out to one of my new sponsors, and that is Castlegate Knives and Tool right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Knives have been around since the Stone Age, and for good reason. They're functional, they're durable, and they're versatile. And they're an essential part of the American toolkit. So whether or not you need just a utility knife for around the house, a great wedding gift, a military knife, a sportsman, or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go. So for more information, go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Elaine Parker.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is Elaine Parker. She is the Chief Communications Officer for Job Creators Network. And Job Creators Network was created by Bernie Marcus, who founded Home Depot, and they're doing all kinds of great work. Elaine Parker, in this particular segment, one of the quotes that we many times say on the show during the first segment is that it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. And fear was the one that we added on during the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. But you're doing something about that. So tell us about that, Elaine Parker.
Yeah, so we shut down our economy. in March, and you know, the government made a decision based on you know, the information it had at the time, and you know, they did what they did. We needed to make sure that our hospitals didn't get overrun, and that we had enough PPE to protect our hospital workers, and from there we did that. And as these states and cities are beginning to reopen, we are seeing some states open at a faster pace than others. We're seeing some draconian measures taking place in some states and cities that is really hurting the recovery of the economy. But not just that. I mean, it's not just an economic argument. It's also all of the issues that we've seen come up from you know, more drug use and more alcohol use and things like that. And so we took a look at what was happening, and we said we've got to push back on this narrative in the media that is forcing people to stay home out of fear. And so we connected with our partners in the physician community and created a campaign called FlattenTheFear.com. We flattened the curve. Now we need to flatten the fear. And what we're doing is putting a microphone in front of doctors. Through opinion, it's through editorials, through radio interviews, TV interviews. These people are experts. They are treating people with COVID every day. They understand the disease. They understand the numbers that are coming out, and they're trying to put them in context for people so that they understand that we do have a vulnerable community that is very that it is a dangerous virus too. But half of the deaths nationwide have occurred in nursing homes. And while every death is tragic, we know where the vulnerable populations are. You know, and in some states, like Minnesota and Ohio, it's over 80% are in nursing homes.
Wow.
So when you start putting some of those numbers into context and helping people understand where they are in the population, we can isolate our vulnerable populations without having and still protect the masses without having to isolate the masses to protect our vulnerable populations. And children have been the big argument lately because it's back to school time. And so we've been pushing very hard at getting people to understand that children have a relatively low risk to COVID, and that all of the best science shows that they're not the big super spreaders that we originally thought they were in the beginning. And so we're pushing really hard with our doctors and the messages to get that message out that we can reengage in society, we can safely reopen with proper precautions, and we can get our kids back to school.
Well, and were you involved at all with the doctors that were in front of the Supreme Court? Was that a Flatten the Fear thing?
No.
That was something different.
We
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you're doing is you're getting physicians, though, into print media, op-eds, radio interviews to just bring truth to, you know, their experiences as they are treating patients regarding COVID-19.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And they're doing a great job. And, you know, I mean, when you look at for kids and getting them back to school, you know, we've made grocery store cashiers and baggers essential workers. We need to make our teachers essential workers too, because not having our kids in school, distance learning has been an unequivocal failure. For low-income kids, distance learning means no learning. For kids with learning disabilities, distance learning means regression. And teachers are unable to identify the telltale signs of physical and sexual abuse when kids are not in school. And if you have a kid who's one of the 22 million children who are on free and reduced lunches, many times those are the only meals those kids get per day. And so those kids aren't getting those meals. And that's why it's so important. And when you have the American Pediatric Association, the American Academy of Pediatricians, the CDC, the National Academy of Sciences all agree that we should have a goal of getting kids back to school. And I'm watching these teachers' unions take on my governor here in Florida with trying to keep school shut down and not even talking about the safety of children, but they're talking about they want Medicare for all, they want taxes on billionaires. You know, they want to keep charter schools and private schools shut down too. Nowhere does that have anything to do with COVID. It has to do with, you know, liberal policies that hurt kids and hurt kids by not getting them back in the classroom. So it's been a ridiculous fight. I'm sad to see that so much has been politicized over COVID, and that the only people that have suffered are the American people.
Well, I find it fascinating, Elaine Parker, that this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, President Trump, one of my friends said, like him or hate him, he has brought clarity to these issues. So there would be conversations I would have with people, and it's kind of like, well, that doesn't make sense. And then now I see an agenda. So for what you just mentioned, and we have pulled a number of headlines from a variety of different states where the teachers union is saying, we want this, and it has nothing to do with COVID, but it is these leftist policies that they're advocating for. And I think they're maybe overplaying their hand, Elaine Parker.
I could not agree with you more. I mean, on every level, they're overplaying their hand, and you only need to look to New York State to see that, because the residents and the citizens of New York State have pushed back so hard about their kids getting back into school that even Governor Cuomo and even Senator Schumer has said, we've got to get the kids back in school. So when you start seeing that turn of events, that's like turning the Titanic. It's making a difference. It's resonating. Parents need their kids back in school. You can't leave a third grader at home to distance learn because you've got to go to work, which means mom and dad don't get to go to work, which means income's not coming into the house. These are incredibly large problems to deal with and hard decisions to make. In Florida, Governor DeSantis gave us the choice. You could do distance learning or you could send your kids back for face-to-face learning. But he said all schools must open. And the teachers union took him to court over that. And it was actually found in the courts to be unconstitutional this week, that he could not deem that all schools had to be open. And I just think, you know, it's ridiculous. Why would we not all be on the same side of getting our kids back in school? We can do it safely. We can social distance. We can wear masks. We can take our classes outside and enjoy, you know, the outside weather. I mean, we can learn a lot being outside. We can take away drinking fountains anywhere where you have shared resources, like in PE or the gymnasium and things like that. There are a lot of things we can do to get our kids back in school, but fighting to keep them out of school is inexcusable.
So what we're seeing with the teachers' unions is they used to say it was about the kids. We're realizing that that is not the case. We have just probably about 3 or 4 minutes left, Elaine Parker. There's one other thing that you are doing this year, which I think is really important. Tell us about your 10 for 20 program.
So we just launched 10 for 20. It's 10for20.com is the website. And it is the largest conservative get out the vote campaign that that anyone has ever taken on. And what we're doing is we are asking conservatives to go to the website and take the pledge to get 10 people to the polls to vote for the 2020 election. So that's the 10 for 20. And what this campaign does, it's a national radio buy. We're going to leverage all of the major conservative talk show radio hosts, you know, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, all the big names that you can think of, who have 60 million plus listeners, to boost election turnout, because this is not going to be a persuasion election. This is going to be absolutely about turnout, and we need to get people turned out. And part of it, part of the COVID, is scaring people into not voting. So if you can go pump gas and you can go to the grocery store, then you can go vote. But if you can't because you've got grandma and grandpa in the nursing home, this site will also provide all of the best information on when early voting starts, how to request your absentee ballot, where your precinct is, who's on the ballot. You can see a sample ballot of your local area, all of the best voting information, and you can share all this information with your friends to get them to vote. So if you continue, if we continue getting conservatives out there to get 10 people to vote, and they get 10 people to vote, and they get 10 people to vote. And we're voting to keep America, America. We're voting to keep the American dream alive. We're voting for the policies that have propelled us to the greatest prosperity we've seen in half a century. That's what we're fighting for. That's what 10 for 20 is all about.
And it truly is. This election is a time for choosing, and getting the vote out is really important. My understanding, Elaine Parker, is that many times there's been Christians and veterans that have not voted in past elections. It is a civic duty to make sure that you vote. And I recommend vote Republican. You may not love every Republican candidate. However, we're looking at a big decision. It's between divisiveness and destruction, which is what's coming from the Democrat Party. And again, this is no longer the Democrat Party of JFK. And so the decision is divisiveness and destruction, or prosperity and that American dream that has empowered more people to get out of poverty and given us this big middle class that allows everyday people to thrive and prosper. So, Elaine Parker, it's been great having you on the show. What's the final thought that you want to leave with our listeners?
You know, we want to keep America, America, and it's going to be so important to have your voice heard and to make sure that you get out and vote. And vote for these conservative ideals that have benefited so many Americans over the last 4 years, and we just need to keep America, America. So go to 10for20.com and pledge to get 10 people to the polls this election season.
Well, Elaine Parker, this work that you're doing with Job Creators Network, you're the Chief Communications Officer. This is just truly inspiring. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thanks, Kim.
And our quote for today is from Babe Ruth. He says, "It's hard to beat a person who never gives up." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.